It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nubby. A simple act of kindness can be powerful, and not just for the person on the receiving end. The new picture book, A Hat for Mrs. Goldman, a story about knitting and love, is a beautiful illustration of that power. It's written by Michelle Edwards. She is a knitter and an author who lives in Iowa City, and she's here with me now. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Charity. Nice to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I think the best way to introduce this book would be just to read the first few pages and let us know what it's about.
Okay, I'd love to do that. When Sophia was a tiny baby, Mrs. Goldman next door knit her a tiny baby hat to keep her warm. Now, Sophia's big, and she makes the pom-poms for Mrs. Goldman's hats. Hats for the tiniest babies, hats for small, medium, and large friends and neighbors. Mrs. Goldman taught her how. Keeping kepis warm is our mitzvah, says Mrs. Goldman, kissing the top of Sophia's head. This is your kepi, and a mitzvah is a good deed. Sophia and Mrs. Goldman bundle up to walk Mrs. Goldman's dog, Fifi. Winter is almost here. Fifi wears her dinosaur sweater. Sophia wears her fuzzy kitten hat and matching mittens. Mrs. Goldman made them all. An icy wind blows Mrs. Goldman's hair left and right. It turns her ears pink. "Where's your hat?" asks Sophia. "I gave it to Mrs. Chen," she explains. "Mrs. Goldman's kepi must be cold," worries Sophia.
That's Michelle Edwards reading just the first few pages of her new picture book, A Hat for Mrs. Goldman, a story about knitting and love. And, of course, that introduces us to the story, and it's not hard to guess what happens next, that Sophia makes a hat for Mrs. Goldman, and it's a charming journey that she goes on to return this kind of kindness. But I think one of the things that you notice right away in reading the book is the use of language, the use of Yiddish terms. And was that part of your goal in writing this book, is to share a little bit of Jewish culture?
Well, you know, I get asked that kind of question often, and it's funny because when you're writing a story, what bubbles forth is what bubbles forth. And I think, you know, moving to the Midwest, I often kind of curate my conversations by leaving out what was a part of my life at one time, using simple Yiddish words. You know, that was what I grew up hearing. That's how I spoke to each other. And when I travel back east, it seeps back in. And when I wrote this story, it bubbled up and it felt so right.
So given that you do now live in Iowa, you know that's not part of the vernacular in mm-hmm. Iowa. In introducing, and obviously we hope that the book is read well beyond the borders of Iowa, but yeah. In introducing that language to kids that may have not heard it before, what do you think that does now that you've been asked that question a lot?
Well, you know, I don't know if kids notice. I really don't. I tell people this story a lot about how kids are very different now because they growing up in such a more diverse world. So many years ago, I wrote a series of books about a magnet school in St. Paul. And there were three girls who were friends. Each girl was a star of her own book. And one girl was African-American, Howie. And my youngest daughter was about 8 at the time, and she went to day camp, and she kept saying, "Hey, Mom, there is a kid who looks just like Howie here. I can't wait to point her out." And one day, we were in the parking lot of a supermarket. She said, "There she is," and she was white. So my daughter never saw the color, and I think it's a sort of the same thing with language. Kids are they're used to hearing the introduction of, you know, Spanish and other languages into their own, and I think that it just riches, you know, I think they're just used to it. They just pass it by if they don't know it, or they get it by context.
Now, Sophia, who is a pivotal character in this book, The Hat for Mrs. Goldman, Sophia is Latina, we learn in the book. And we've had a lot of conversations on this program and in many other places about diversity or lack of diversity in children's books. So was that a very pointed decision on your part?
And I've been asked that. It's really interesting. I never thought of it that way. I just thought of the character for the story because that's what my landscape's like. And, you know, when we lived in St. Paul, even more so, you know, those were the kids who were around. And it just seemed really natural to have Sophia be who she is.
Mrs. Goldman, I noticed in the beginning of the book, Mrs. Goldman's a character in the book, the title of the book, but there's also a dedication in the very beginning yes. of the book to a Mrs. Goldman. Is this yeah. based on a real person?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's loosely. There are parts of Catherine Goldman in this, and Catherine Goldman is indeed a knitter and indeed a charitable person, and she does refer to her husband as Mr. Goldman. And I loved that, and, you know, I borrowed that from her, and I thought about her a lot, and in fact, I called her when I was going over the story because she had taught many kids to knit, so many kids to knit, and they knit hats, and I conferred with her about the pattern and all that, and crying when you receive something. So,
now you, as I mentioned earlier, you are a knitter. We spoke on this program a couple of years ago about your last book, which was about knitting and life for grown-ups, yeah. A Knitter's Home Companion. But in you teach people to knit as well sometimes.
No, I barely teach
anyone to knit. Okay, yes. All right. But what do you think? What do you think knitting can do for a child? Because it's obviously been very powerful in your life to have this skill.
I think knitting and working with your hands can do a lot for children on so many levels. I think that it gives them something that they've made. Making something when you're young and even when you're old, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to create. And even if it comes out rugged and ragged, then you find the next way to deal with that. And I think it's a great thing for kids. I think it calms kids down. It gives you a focus. And it's so elemental. And I will paraphrase a quote that I saw attributed to Linda Berry. This is the digital age. That means use your digits. And so
one of the things that I really love about the book is that as Sophia makes this hat for Mrs. Goldman, she really struggles because she's not very good at knitting. And, of course, that's a process that you see so many kids go through where they try something that's difficult and they're not good at it because you're right. never good when you start something. But that's such a frustrating process for kids. A lot of kids give up whatever they're trying to do because they're not good right away. Did you think about that process?
A lot. And in fact, I once wrote a knitting essay about my oldest daughter who went to a Waldorf school and learned to knit, and all the other kids had finished their washcloths months before. But Mira was still knitting hers, and finally I said to her, this is not the Sistine Chapel you are painting. This is a washcloth. You finish it. You embrace those mistakes, and then you move on. And I think it's really a metaphor for a lot of things. You know, we have a vision of what we want, and it takes a long time to get to that vision. And understanding that a lot of things in life are a process is a very important lesson.
You brought with you a prop that you've been using as you've been reading your book and going to readings, which is a very similar to the hat that Sophia creates in the book, which, of course, is not perfect, but turns out beautifully. So in making part of your book come to life, is that something you did as you were writing it, or is this something you did for this part of the process when you're sharing the book with other people?
Oh, no, I did it. I did it when I got that idea. I mean, I have you know, again, this is how stories bubble up. They come from odd places. You remember something. And for a very short time when I was growing up, we had a dog. And that dog chewed my aunt's sweater. And I remember my mother coming to me and she said, could you embroider something over that, you know? And so I began to think what Sophia could do if that hat was really, really awful. And pom-poms are just such a great thing. And so I wanted to see what that hat would look like. So I made one, and I made mistakes, and I covered it with pom-poms. I wanted to remember what it would be like. And I want to thank, Catherine Goldman was a help in the story and an inspiration in many ways, but so were all the knitters who wrote to me for years about their lives and about their first knitting experiences. And I borrowed from all those things.
You came to Iowa City originally to study printmaking, right?
Right.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I had been a printmaker for many years. I studied as an undergraduate, and I moved to Israel, and I studied it there. And then I worked for a year or so for a print shop that was attached to the Israel Museum. And I printed for many well-known artists who came through. And I realized that I needed to know more. And I needed to focus on my own work, that I didn't want to print for other people the rest of my life. So my professor who I'd studied etching with was a student of Mauricio Lisansky, and it was the tradition for those students to send their students back to Iowa City. And I will say that I was accepted, I came, and I visited in August. And you could have rolled a bowling ball down Clinton, nothing was there. And I thought, I can't go to school here. And so I delayed my admissions for a year and then came back. And it was a wonderful experience.
The process of being an artist, and you've done illustrations for some of your past books, mm-hmm. It's different, I would think, than the process of writing a story. But in this book, you chose not to illustrate it yourself. You worked with a different illustrator. Why did you make that decision?
Well, I made a decision actually after, I think, my fifth picture book, that I just didn't want to illustrate picture books anymore, because I was sort of the writing part of my life, which I had never really considered to be a writer, started becoming more important. There were more and more stories I wanted to tell, and I realized I couldn't do that if I continued to illustrate picture books, because it just takes too much time. So I did an early chapter book series, which I illustrated, and took longer each book than a picture book. So
in working with an illustrator, having been an illustrator yourself, were there some challenges to that?
Well, in the world of picture books, it used to be that the illustrator and the writer never met. And it's since changed, except at Schwartz and Wade, where I was. So I didn't get Brian's illustrations till the very end. And, you know, there were a few little things, but he caught the soul of the book. And he's a wonderful person. And we've had a correspondence. He learned to knit. He thanked me
so
for
So he learned to knit so that he could illustrate the book?
So he could illustrate.
Oh, that's neat.
And then knitting became important to him. So I just feel like it's like the best collaboration.
Now, the length of time that it takes between the conception of an idea and the writing of the story and then getting hooked up with an illustrator and then getting it published, a book is a long time coming.
It is.
So in that time, waiting for this book to come out, which is so elementally about kindness and acts of kindness, what are your hopes for this little book as it goes out into the world?
Well, you know, we are in difficult times, and civility and kindness and day-to-day acts of both giving charitably and of yourself, I think, are really important. And slowing down to make a hat for someone else and thinking about other people, I think, are very important. And I think it's timely. And I have other thoughts for other books in this, dealing with this and with these characters, that explore that idea of giving. You know, the great Maimonides did a ladder of giving, and there are 10, I think, 8 steps on that ladder. And I can see a few books there.
back to the language that you chose to use. You didn't call it a good deed. You didn't call it a gift. You didn't call it an act of kindness. You called it a mitzvah. Is there something more to the word mitzvah? Does that carry something more with it in your mind?
It's sort of a guide. It's a way sometimes to do things that you're not that comfortable to do. Like, you know, it's something I used with my kids too. It's a mitzvah. You'll do it. It's a mitzvah. Or, you know, you be the good one. It's a mitzvah for you to do this. You know, it's a way to take on a challenge that may be seen greater than you, just like Sophia, who doesn't like to knit, who really can't knit well, takes on that challenge because there's a goal that's greater. And so it does have a lot of significance to me.
Does it also, as I mentioned earlier, the power of an act of kindness doesn't just go to the recipient, but to the person committing that act. Does the word mitzvah kind of imply that as well, that it's an important thing for you to do for yourself?
I think so, because it's about all those kinds of things that we do are things that make us a person who's fuller, and fuller in the sense that understanding of the world and your place in it. And, you know, even if you give to other people and they don't know, that act of knitting and thinking of them just sort of broadens everything that you're doing. It's not just a hat.
Michelle, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope that you enjoy the book.
Oh, yes. The book is A Hat for Mrs. Goldman, A Story About Knitting and Love. It's a beautiful little picture book, and it's written by Michelle Edwards, who is a knitter and an author who lives in Iowa City. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We had production assistance today from Divine Huff, and we also get production assistance from Gray Lanta and Anna Williams. You can get in touch with us anytime. We love to hear from you, your thoughts on things you've heard on the air, your ideas for things you'd like to hear on the air. Email's a great way to contact us, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can also follow us on Twitter @IPRTalk. I'm there too, @CharityNebby. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.